It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League, every game, every day, from a sports betting perspective. With pro handicappers Alex B. Smith and Ian Cameron, and veteran sports writer Jimmy Murphy. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network, Tuesday, October the 26th. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and we'll have Andrew McGinnis momentarily as well. Jimmy Murphy, not with us today, but he should be back tomorrow. As we're ready to break down the Tuesday NHL card, we'll get to that in just a second. But obviously, the Chicago Blackhawks just holding a press conference regarding the details of the investigation surrounding the sexual assault allegations toward Bradley Aldrich that were just discovered. And boy, it was an uncomfortable, unsettling, and you had this pit, at least for me, Alex, I had this pit in my stomach the whole time listening to the details of it. Very, very unsavory. But the bottom line was they did not move on this right away after the meeting, after it was brought to and the likes of team president John McDonough, who had the final decision and the final say on whether to go forward to either report this to police or tell someone else in the organization. That was not done for 3 weeks during the Chicago Blackhawks Stanley Cup playoff run in 2010. And, you know, you look at some of the names of the people that were involved in the meeting, not just John McDonough, but Stan Bowman, who, of course, is no longer the GM of the Chicago Blackhawks. Search is ongoing. Kyle Davidson, the interim GM, at least as of right now. But Stan Bowman, John McDonough, Kevin Cheveldayoff, Winnipeg Jets general manager, was in that meeting as well that day. Joel Quenneville, of course, was the head coach of the Blackhawks at the time, now head coach of the Florida Panthers. And the fact that, again, McDonough ends up looking the absolute worst of the bunch, and the fact that you let this guy, Aldrich, basically still be with the team for those 3 weeks where nothing was said, nothing was reported, and there he is traveling with the team, there he is allowed to celebrate the Stanley Cup championship with the team in front of the supposed alleged victim. I mean, it's just absolutely hideous. It makes your skin crawl. It's all of those things, and a very, very unfortunate day. But I will give the Blackhawks one bit of kudos, and that's Danny Wirtz's words, his tone, his tenor during that press conference was that, hey, and look, Danny Wirtz was not with the Blackhawks in 2010, and he ended up coming across, in my opinion, Alex, with the right tone, saying this is unacceptable, we got to be better, we will be better, can't allow this to happen, we can't value on-ice performance more than people's well-being, their health, all of that stuff. and obviously safety, all of that. He came across and delivered, hit the right notes with what he said during that Zoom call just now. So I give him credit for that. And hopefully this is a wake-up call to this entire organization to never allow this kind of thing to happen again. But just to hear the details of how it went down some 11 years ago, very, very disappointing and very disheartening, to say the least. Alex, you're obviously a lifelong Chicago guy, a Chicago Blackhawks fan. This is not the kind of thing, an organization you've loved with all of your heart and your soul. You would never want to hear something like this going on with your team. But what did you make of the press conference, the whole ordeal, and what do you think moving forward with these Blackhawks?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's heartbreaking and disgusting that these things happened and occurred, and this cover-up that was just, there was it completely and wholly unnecessary on many levels. You know, nothing of this magnitude should ever be covered up. But the fact that the organization protected a guy who's an outsider, if you look at the history of the Hawks, obviously it's been owned by one family, the Wirtz family, since they bought it from McLaughlin back in the 30s. And they always had, especially during the dollar bill days, they've always had their cadre of people that they've kept around and that were, you know, blood loyalists to the organization. Even if it was someone within that realm, it would have made a semblance more of sense than this complete unknown outsider who's a video coach who, you know, assaulted players. And like I said, the fact that he was still able to celebrate and be part of the team in their biggest moment in history, it's despicable. That's the only way a word I can come up with it, define. And then you move forward. The fact that, like you said, now, you know, Danny Wirtz, like I said, he did a great job. You know, like I said, it was his comments today. He's the younger son of Rocky. He was no part of this whatsoever. And what people don't realize is that when Rocky took over after Bill dying, the first move was to bring John McDonough. And John McDonough pretty much was the oversight of all of it. Rocky signed checks. So him saying he didn't know, that's wholly believable. And that Danny didn't know, like I said, Danny was off to college. He had no idea. I'm sure he had none of any of the inside stuff until the suit was filed. I do believe that. But McDonough knowing this and covering up made no sense. And like I said, we'll have to see what happens with the other people who were involved who have now moved on, basically being Quenneville and Shovel Dayoff, because Shovel Dayoff was the assistant GM. And I just mentioned it on a show the other day about how with Quenneville, he was brought in early in that season as a scout. And then, you know, all of the year before, and then all of a sudden they made the move to fire Dennis Savard and bring him in as coach. So he was around for a full year in this time. So that whole group that was involved in that meeting, like I said, I would think other action would have to be taken upon everyone. You know, they all knew and they all covered it up at some point. Moving forward, hopefully, like I said, that, you know, the Hawks, they obviously have a lot to do to try to get the stain off of them. And the fact that things on ice aren't going well now is only going to make things a whole lot worse. This is pretty much, you know, we're at the point where, you know, the Hawks franchise has taken a step all the way back to the early 2000s. All the three championships and the legacies of all the great legends and players, they've pretty much been washed out at this point. And it pains me to say that, you know, because these are moments that I will never forget for the rest of my life. Obviously, the players and other fans and everybody else that's involved that took part, that you know, blood, sweat, and tears on the ice to, you know, make this legacy happen and this dynasty. And now for it to be tarnished by something of this magnitude, it's awful. It's truly awful.
It is. And it's, I know you've been reveling in so much, you know, success and just great moments on the ice with the Blackhawks for these last 11 years. And now to see a despicable incident ongoing that was apparently swept under the carpet, if you will, this is what this was. I don't even care that it was just 3 weeks. 3 weeks is too long. It needed to be immediate. It needed to be instant. This had to be handled, dealt with, and reported. That was not happening. Unfortunately, following that meeting that day in 2010. And that's the most disappointing and sickening part, I think, of all of this. Well, the incident itself is as well, but obviously the failure to report it and wait 3 weeks to even, you know, do anything was very, very disappointing. And you're right about the futures of Cheval Dayoff and Quenneville. I mean, what does Florida Does Florida do anything with Quenneville? Does Winnipeg do anything with Cheval Dayoff? I mean, that's going to be the big question. Now, see, McDonough was apparently the guy that had to make the final decision, but that didn't save Bowman, did it? Though McDonough had to make the final decision after that meeting whether to go ahead and report what was going on, Bowman was still part of that meeting, and he still bit the dust, and he was let go by the Blackhawks today. And you mentioned off air, and it's worth pointing this out, Stan Bowman was hired as the U.S. Hockey General Manager for the Beijing Olympics coming up. You got to believe he ain't keeping that job moving forward after this either. So there's definitely going to be some – Bowman's probably done in hockey. We said that. I can't see him doing anything again involving an NHL managerial any organizational position in the NHL. And now you have to question what's going to happen with Joel Quenneville and Kevin Cheval Dayoff in particular, two prominent guys that have head coach and GM roles in the NHL currently, respectively. So what happens to them moving forward now becomes another question. We got Andrew McGinnis with us as well. Alex, great insight. Of course, Alex, a Blackhawks fan, so he's been definitely staying ears and eyes to the ground, if you will, on this whole situation. And Andrew, it's just disappointing and upsetting that we have to deal with something like this in the National Hockey League.
Sorry, yeah, absolutely it is. And, the thing is, guys, I don't want to speak too much on the topic just because I don't feel informed enough on it. I don't feel like I know enough about it. I've, followed along a little bit, and I watched the briefing and stuff like that. But I just don't want to speak on something I'm not too familiar with. But one thing I will say is that what you just said there, Ian, about some other people that might get affected by it. You know, we saw Bowman resigned. But the other guys that were kind of linked to all of this, I'm very curious to see what kind of the secondary people, what happens with them, the people that are now not a part of the Blackhawks organization. But sometimes when things happen, it affects you in life, you know, not just in that job, but elsewhere. So I'm super, curious to see what happens as far as that stuff goes. But it's horrible. Stuff getting covered up is awful. I don't care if it's for 1 hour or for 3 weeks or 3 months. You just don't do that stuff. It's sickening. And, it's the kind of thing, guys, where I want to feel more informed on it and learn more about it. But it also kind of it breaks your heart, and then you just don't want to hear stuff like this happen because it's just horrible.
I believe it was, and Alex, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was Paul Vincent who was the guy that was trying to get them to do something and step on this and get something going on this and tell us to report this, mention this to Chicago police, mention it.
Yeah.
And apparently at that meeting, it fell on deaf ears, or at least for 3 weeks it did.
Right, yeah. Paul Vincent, who was the skills coach at the time, he was the one who was informed by John Doe. And he reported it to his higher ups. He did his job in that, and saying that this needs to be reported to the police. And so now, like I said, moving forward, obviously because there's a lawsuit, but I don't know, there could be criminal charges pending at some point because they basically withheld information of a potential investigation of a crime. So there's a lot. This isn't over exactly. This is the beginning of the first domino to fall. There's more to follow for sure, but like I said, this is just, there's no place for this in any form of business, especially hockey. And like I said, it's just a hard thing to deal with and a hard thing to see. But the Hawks had at least, in fact, the fact that they didn't even put the presser, it wasn't going to be televised. For those of you who did see it, the link popped up and it was only available in Canada for the first 5 minutes, and then they broke down the barrier and it was available worldwide. Moving forward, because they were going to release a public statement, a full public statement, and the full report investigation will be available online later through the public, through Blackhawks.com, and everything moving forward to be available to media. And I don't know if there'll be another press conference to detail that for the public and for the news media. But the fact that they weren't even going to kind of have this already kind of broadcast, because it's obviously it's bad light for the organization, but at the same time, it's the organization finally owning up to it. And the group they brought in to do the investigation said that, they didn't interfere with anything. They were fully cooperative. Those are things you wanted to hear, because everybody kind of worried with the history of the Hawks of, what things were they still going to try to cover up even in this investigation. So I'm grateful that they didn't do that. They let, the proper people do their jobs.
Exactly. They didn't interfere with it. They let it unfold. And they did, they let, you know, and they basically brought to light any and all findings in that investigation as well. So again, I think the Blackhawks went a long way to rehabilitate their image, but at the same time, it's going to be tough to totally eradicate and extricate the, what happened 11 years ago from people's memory, which is just a horrifying incident all around. All right, we'll turn the page now back to what we're usually here for daily. It's for NHL from a betting perspective, and we will turn our attention toward that now. We've got 7 games on tap tonight in the NHL. We'll start with the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Pittsburgh Penguins. We've got Tampa Bay -130 road favorites, 5.5 being the total in this one. Obviously, we saw what happened with Tampa last. Actually, you know what? They had the edge in territorial play. Old man Winter, a.k.a. Craig Anderson, had another pretty good game in net for the Buffalo Sabres last night. Tampa Bay, they actually had a bunch of wide open nets, and they just, the puck was just not going in for them. There was a couple wide open nets and wide with the shot. I mean, it was just one of those nights for Tampa. The chances were there. Just couldn't find a way to put one in the net. And Buffalo, it seemed like everything they shot toward Brian Elliott and the Lightning net went in. And then it ended up being a 5-1 Buffalo win. Keep this in mind for totals betting moving forward and for live betting in the third period, because I jumped in on this last night and it worked out. And we saw it in the first game of the season for Tampa Bay against Pittsburgh. When John Cooper's down 2 or 3 goals in the third period, he's still pulling his goalie, and he's pulling his goalie with 5-6 minutes to go. So you'd better believe that from a live totals perspective in the third period, when Tampa Bay is trailing in a game, it's worth your while, in my opinion, to hop onto a live over, because he is not going to just let the game dwindle and go away without a fight. We're seeing John Cooper now. This is multiple times this year. 2 goals down with 5 minutes to go and 3 goals down. Like, they actually scored to make it 4-1, and he pulled the goalie again, John Cooper, last night. So keep that in mind moving forward. 3 goals down, even if they get one in the empty net, the opposing team, he's still pulling the goalie. So that's something to keep in mind. File it away for future reference in terms of totals betting in the third period involving Tampa Bay, particularly when they're trailing. We'll see how they bounce back tonight. Pittsburgh has found a way. Just incredible coaching by Mike Sullivan. I mean, you do have to give him credit. I mean, this Penguins team just keeps on battling. There's no Crosby. There's no Malkin. There's no Rust. There's no Carter. There's no Letang. There's no excuses either. All they do is they keep playing pretty well, this Pittsburgh team, finding a way, good team defense. Tristan Jarry's playing good. You know, I had my issues with the way he played in that Islander series last year, but it's been a solid start to the year for him. No complaints. You know, this team to be 3-0-1-1 with all that they've been without, that is definitely a testament to how this team has dug in. You know, you got the Drew O'Connors of the world and Brock McGinn and Danton Heinen, Bluger, and you got Evan Rodriguez, for crying out loud, your number one center, and here they are still winning hockey games. So it's been very impressive from the Penguins here. This feels like a Tampa spot because they got pretty much handled by Pittsburgh, you know, in the season opener against the Penguins. Remember, the Lightning were flat. They just had a terrible game after raising the banner and getting the Stanley Cup ceremony that night. So you'd like to think Tampa Bay wants to atone for that and play better, but I just don't see enough consistency for 60 minutes from the Lightning to want to back them here, laying a price on the road. So for me, it's just a lean to Tampa. It's not a game that I'm going to be involved in from a betting perspective. Alex, we'll start with you here. What do you think with the Lightning and the Penguins? I think Alex is away. Up there he is.
So sorry, just getting back. I was just reading some more stuff that was coming through my phone. But as far as this game goes, I was really hoping that Tampa Bay would kind of bounce back in this spot, between, you know, how things started with them opening night in this matchup compared to now. But things have really just been struggling. You know, we talk about, you know, the fatigue factor and the back-to-back cup hangover that they're dealing with right now. And you make a good point about, you know, with, you know, Cooper, you know, pulling the goalie early, doing the kind of old Patrick Waugh move, you know, down a couple of goals with 5 minutes left. He has no hesitation to pull his goalie, even down 3 goals. So that's definitely something to look for with, like I said, live totals, live betting, and full game overs. That's the way I would lean here, especially now we're seeing we see the 5.5s, and then they were bouncing back. Actually, it's open at 6.5, then at 5.5, and then I saw some 6s for a while, but now we're seeing 5.5 even. So I would take the over. I don't want to touch a side here. Like I said, I would think that Tampa Bay would want to come out guns blazing on the second night of a back-to-back and against a team that already blew them out. But Pittsburgh, like I said, they found ways to get the job done without their key stars. Like I said, kudos to Sullivan for getting his troops motivated enough to you know move along without those pieces. So it should be a back and forth battle, but I like the over here.
And obviously it hasn't been confirmed, but you expect Vasilevsky tonight after they gave him the night off. They played Elliott last night, so you should see Vasilevsky tonight for the Lightning. Andrew, your thoughts here, Lightning and Penguins.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it sets up a pretty good spot for them. We mentioned yesterday they've had some really tough competition, right? And, I mean, you look at kind of bet on spots, and you would have thought yesterday was a great one for them. I ended up with the Sunshine State Parlay, and as you know how that went. I mean, one team got it done, one team didn't. But that was only a very small play for me. A little bit better of a higher rated play for me today on Tampa. And a lot of it comes from just a value standpoint. You know, you see it in football, you see it in NBA. When teams go on the road, Ian, and they've been playing a lot of, you know, tough competition, you get, you know, better point spreads. And that's kind of what we're getting here. I think we're getting great odds. Well, let's put it like this. If we're in the NBA right now and talking about basketball, Pittsburgh's missing their starting five. You know, they're missing their starting lineup pretty much, you know. And so if I'm Sidney Crosby, I'm thinking how excited I am to see what that Pittsburgh Penguins team did against Toronto when they were missing pretty much their, you know, a lot of their better players. But here's the thing. A lot of times that happens when the right after, that first game after, you know, you see it happen in football. A quarterback goes out, team rallies behind the backup quarterback. They get it done. They win the game. And I think that that's kind of what happened with Pittsburgh against Toronto. But that game against Buffalo for Tampa, I think it was one of those ones where they played really tough competition and they thought it was going to be just a cakewalk game against Buffalo. And they kind of obviously got outworked, and Buffalo clearly is still, you know, making some noise, at least a little bit. And we can't forget either. This is a team notorious for bouncing back off first of all games where they get blown out in Tampa, and games where they don't score that many goals. And I've mentioned to you before, Ian, that I don't like making bets and using trends, you know, from before you and I were born, because it doesn't make any sense. But in this instance here, this is a large one here. Lightning 67-19, their last 86 after scoring two goals or less in their previous game. 67-19, and they're also 40-13 their last 53 games following a loss of three or more. Those are straight from the covers matchup page there. Love checking it out there. They give you some good trends, and you just can't argue it. And you know, it wasn't really, I wouldn't really even blame the goaltending yesterday for the Lightning. They got outworked. So Vasilevsky will be up to the task tonight, and I think it's a really good price. I mean, can we even explain this price, Ian? Like, I don't understand. You know, why are, I mean, is it just because Tampa Bay hasn't been playing?
Tampa Bay's been in a malaise. Pittsburgh's been winning. That's the price. That's
why. I know, but in hockey, they usually don't adjust like that. The bookmakers don't usually adjust like that. I don't know. I think it's kind of peculiar.
And I think they see the injuries too. And right away, like people, even the odds makers out there that don't really know much about hockey, they see the name Sidney Crosby out. They're going to recognize that and say, hey, you know what? We got to make a little adjustment here. They see an Evgeny Malkin out. We're going to make an adjustment here. And then
that's what I'm saying, though. Why is it so cheap for Tampa?
Yeah,
I think it's cheap, don't you? Or you just think because Pittsburgh's playing well that they deserve this price?
Really, they do, because I think their team game is very good. That's why I'm staying off Tampa, and I just don't see enough of this. You know, this hard effort. This I find when things go wrong for Tampa. Like, I didn't see much pushback from them last night when they fell behind against Buffalo. That was disconcerting. That's obviously a Buffalo team that, you know, they've played actually pretty hard this year, which is why they've gotten their wins. And we have seen, and we didn't see really Tampa. Once that thing got to 3-1, you know, in the third period, that was about it, you know, and that's the problem right now. And when you go through these kind of, you know, back-to-back Stanley Cup runs like Tampa Bay has, these early season October games, I don't think you're just seeing enough want to.
Yeah,
right now to the Lightning. So I got to
see
some
point there from Earl too in the chat. Tampa Bay is going to miss Cooch more this season.
Yes,
after losing. Yeah,
there's no Barclay, Goodrow, Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde line anymore. They're all gone.
It's a good point. Goodrow's
with the Rangers. Gourde's in Seattle. Coleman's in Calgary. You know, and that line was significant for them. Anytime they had a night where Stamkos's line didn't produce, Palat didn't produce, Kucherov didn't produce, Johnson didn't produce, any of these guys. Johnson's gone too. He's now in Chicago. You know, any time those guys did not get the job done offensively or had a tough night or got shut down by the opposing team, guess who stepped up and filled the void? Third line. especially in the playoffs, and you don't have that anymore.
But Ian, I got Tampa Bay at -125 against Pittsburgh without all of their best players.
Yeah.
That's just pretty much like, I know current form is a thing. Look at last night. I mean, we saw it countless times. Current form has been a thing. You and I have discussed with the eye test, but I'm not betting this game if it's Tampa -150. But with the long-term bounce-back stats that Tampa has, even though Pittsburgh has been tough to play against, and I heard Jason Spezza and even Matthews after that game against the Leafs saying, yeah, you know, they're a tough team to play against. They, you know, make the ice very small. And I like those kind of quotes, Ian, where the players talk about the opposition. I don't even like the quotes where players talk about their own teams. It's always a load of crap. But when they talk about the other team, they're usually pretty honest. And I get it. The Pittsburgh Penguins are tough to play against, but I don't know. I don't want to piss off Tampa team. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to piss off Tampa.
Yeah, they should be. And really, to be honest with you, they're healthier than, even without Kucherov, they're healthier than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh still, at some point, you'd think there's a game where missing all these key players, some of their, you know, these arguably four or five of their best players is going to eventually, they're going to experience being without these guys. And what it's like and struggle without them, but hasn't happened yet. We'll see if it happens tonight. We move on to Calgary, New Jersey. We've got New Jersey -115 home favorite, 6 the total in this game. The Calgary Flames, the strong road trip for them continues. It's been a good one, and now they've improved to 3-1-1 on the campaign. A very good 5-1 win against the Rangers last night, their third win in a row, beating Washington and Detroit. So 3-0 on this road trip so far. Can they make it 4 in a row now? They're on the second night of back-to-back games. They've certainly dominated Jersey 6 straight. You know, it's difficult to – I certainly won't be taking New Jersey here. It's a question of, do I want to back Calgary? I'm not sure. It is a back-to-back on the road. And we talked about New Jersey. They did beat Buffalo 2-1 Saturday night, but obviously still playing without two good forwards. Miles Wood's a good forward. He's out indefinitely, and of course Jack Hughes got injured early in the season with that dislocated left shoulder, and he's going to be out for a bit of time moving forward as well, so you get concerned a little bit about that. You look at the teams though in terms of goals for percentage, there's a big gap. New Jersey certainly been better in that regard, and definitely if you look at the way these two teams have gone, you know, there's definitely been opportunities for this New Jersey team to find the back of the net, but they have not been able to do that. They're generating chances at a pretty good clip, but you know, without Jack Hughes, we've kind of seen the offense kind of level off a bit, which is not totally unexpected. They've scored just 3 goals in their last 2 games, the loss to Washington and the overtime win against Buffalo on Saturday. So we'll see how this one goes here, but Calgary continues to roll along here on this road trip tonight. For me, it's not a game overly that I have a strong opinion on. This card overall to me was very, very tricky. Not one that I've got a ton of strong opinions on top to bottom. You know, at 5.5, I might look at an over here on a back-to-back situation, but it's moved up to 6. I would prefer the total at 5.5 here, but would lean over still regardless. Alex, what do you think here? Calgary, New Jersey.
Yeah, I would lean over too. This is one of those spots where you want to probably wait and get a better price in game. Honestly, and, you know, Calgary, like I said, we know they played well in it so far, but you know, this is one of those battles. These two teams kind of mirror each other as far as the styles they want to play, and especially New Jersey now, they're still shuffling lines around, trying to figure out things in the absence of Jack Hughes with that shoulder injury. This kind of seems like, yeah, like if 6 or 6.5 would be a bit steep, where the, you know, things could clamp down later. So waiting in game, you might be able to catch a 4.5 even. And feel more comfortable with that. You get a 3-2 final, and then that way you still cash in over. Don't have to worry about you know, anything later on if there's no empty net goals or this game goes to overtime. But this is one I'm going to stay away from a side perspective. Still want to kind of feel out Calgary a bit more. And like I said, New Jersey, a team I'm not really trying to back without Hughes.
Yeah, and a good point from our friend in the chat, Earl Sportsbet, saying teams so far this season, again, it's only the first month. It's a small sample size, but it's something to worth mentioning that the teams on the second night of back-to-back games are just 7-16 this season. So obviously Calgary falls into that angle tonight. Second of back-to-back games, but they're playing really well. And to be honest with you, I'm worried a bit about New Jersey. There's two games now with out Jack Hughes. They haven't looked great. So I don't want to step in front of Calgary. I'm not saying this is the night you want to back them either, but I've seen enough out of Calgary playing well, even on the back-to-back, kind of reluctant to go against them at the moment. Andrew, what are your thoughts here, Calgary, New Jersey?
Yeah, I'll keep it short. I like the under. I locked in under six in this game. Vladar is in nets. I had his name pronounced earlier today, but I'm a stickler on that. Vladar, young goaltender, but he's played well. He's made some great saves. Obviously, now a member of Calgary, and I think he wants to prove himself. You know, I think he'll come out there and the team will rally around him, play well defensively. And it's kind of funny, Ian, because a lot of the times, you know, we all like to look towards maybe overs, you know, on a back-to-back or late in a road trip and stuff like that. But in this situation, I think the Calgary, they've had a lot of success. And that game against New York was just, to me, a really bad spot for New York. Really bad spot for New York. First game home after a road trip. And now looking at New Jersey, they're a team, especially like Alex said, it's crazy to think, but just without one player, how much of a difference it makes. I actually like their defensive core. They get the puck out of their own end pretty good. And they protect their goaltender. And that's kind of my read here is I think this should be a 5.5. I'm on the under six. And I think Calgary, you know, under the Daryl Sutter mindset, wants to play, you know, along the boards and boring style of hockey. So we'll see. I mean, I still think that this is a team that's heavily relied on their top five. And if those guys aren't scoring, they're not going to get on the board. So I see this being maybe a 2-1, 3-2 style of hockey.
All right, next up, we've got Vegas and Colorado. This is your ESPN game tonight with Sean McDonough and Brian Boucher calling it nationwide. We've got Colorado minus 180, home favorites, total of six here in this game. Colorado getting the victory against Tampa Bay in their last game, 4-3, snapping a three-game losing streak. Of course, it's been a rough start to the year. Prior to that, their only win was against the winless Chicago Blackhawks, and they had lost three in a row after that against St. Louis, Washington, and Florida. You know, Nathan MacKinnon only came back in the Washington game. They got Landeskog back as well. He missed a game or two. And then against Tampa Bay, they finally got their back in the win column, a 4-3 win. And now they return home following that road trip, which lasted. It only lasted, though, three games. It wasn't a long road trip. It's early in the season. So I know this is the first home game off a road trip spot. Usually that's always something you don't want to bet on. It's not always a bet on spot. But I don't know. To me, I've been fading Vegas left and right. It's been working out. Obviously, the last two games had Edmonton against them, had the Islanders against them. And it's just been a struggle for them. And I don't know if they're going to get the ship turned around here. That's four losses in a row for the Golden Knights. The only win was that win against the Kraken, 4-3, and very fortunate to escape, in my opinion, with the win, considering I thought Seattle played a pretty solid game that night. So it's been a grind for this Vegas team. They remain out without a bunch of key cogs, of course. Pacioretty, Stone, Martinez on the back end. Zach Whitecloud is now out on the blue line. Is a pretty solid depth defender for them. Alex Tuck hasn't played a game yet this year. Nolan Patrick, who they got from the Flyers in the offseason, is now day-to-day. I mean, this is a very, very banged-up beleaguered team. And Colorado playing Vegas for the first time since you know what happened last year. The playoff series loss to the Golden Knights in the second round, where the Avalanche won game one, and then Vegas kind of took over the series from that point on against the Colorado Avalanche and ended up winning it here in this game. I could only look Colorado here. Now, I've been going against Vegas. Obviously, the price is a lot different here. We're not getting a short favorite price. You're not getting close to even money like we have the last two games against the to fade the Golden Knights here. But I would lean here to Colorado in regulation. Just keep it simple. I think Vegas is just up against it right now. And unlike Pittsburgh, maybe this is a little bit of a slight on Pete DeBoer, you know, me saying this. Unlike Pittsburgh, who has found ways to win, found ways to see other guys step up, both up front and on the blue line, and help them win games without these key players. We haven't seen that from Vegas. Where the hell's Marchessault and Smith? And, you know, where are these guys that are supposed to be really picking up the slack with no Pacioretty and Stone? We're not seeing it. Forget it with the third and fourth line. I don't expect to see any offense from the third and fourth line from Vegas because they just don't have a ton of guys back there that give you a lot of offensive punch. But I at least expect Marchessault and Smith to elevate their game without Pacioretty, without Stone, without Tuck. And they just haven't done that yet. So If I'm betting this one, it's Avs in regulation for me. Alex, what do you think here? Vegas, Colorado.
Yeah, two things I would be looking for would be the first period over, but don't lay 135. Get that adjusted in game within the first couple of minutes. But also what you could play pregame would be a goal in the next 10 minutes at yes. I'm trying to find the odds for that right now. We've seen this cash with all of Vegas's games so far, where they've been able to either, like I said, score early or they've allowed a goal early because of how things have gone now with the turn of offense. Obviously, Colorado definitely going to want revenge from this spot and the fact that they're in better form right now. If I had to play a side, I would lean like Ian is going with the Avs in regulation. But I like the first period over live and goal to be scored the first 10 minutes. Those are my official plays for this one.
Yeah, it's just tough. And Evgeny Dodonov, I'm not a fan of that guy's game the last couple of years. He didn't do anything with Ottawa last year. He's been invisible the last few games for the Golden Knights. Now they got Janmark. They got Stevenson centering Janmark. And Peyton Krebs is now up on your top line. I mean, it's rough. It's rough sledding right now with this forward group. It's patchwork, to say the least, for Vegas right now. Andrew, what do you think? Vegas, Colorado.
Yeah, I don't have big thoughts on this game, just simply based on the Golden Knights, kind of like their little skid here. I kind of am disappointed in myself for missing the train, you know, on backing them when they had those injuries. And obviously they're still banged up, but I guess I was kind of reluctant because it was one of those things where, you know, I didn't want to step in front of them, but I also didn't want to jump on them. You know, I was kind of reluctant and clearly you see four straight losses and it wasn't just to all, you know, incredibly crazy teams right now. New York just beat them 2-0. LA, you know, 6-2 for them. I have a small lean here to the under. I haven't officially played it yet, but I just get that feeling that Vegas knows that they aren't getting a great support goal scoring wise. And eventually coaches change their tactics and their strategies and the way that they're supporting the puck. And you just get that feeling they're going to want to make this game miserable. But something also about last year's playoff series and the history these two teams have, that does play a factor to me in my handicap. But my lean here, guys, is the under. I would potentially make a play on Colorado, but I think we'll actually see a low-scoring game here. The thing is, I think that this game could kind of see some chippiness and some penalties and power plays. So I might look towards the first period under 1.5 first period versus the full game. That way I can get it out of the way, out the gate. So that's kind of where I'm looking. I think this should be a slow game, but I don't really have much in this game.
I mean, the numbers for Vegas are ugly, too. I mean, their expected goals for percentage is just 42.6. That's below average in the league. High danger chances, 442. High danger chances against 60. You know, it's just a team that they're giving up a lot, and they're not getting a lot and not generating a lot. So it's been a kind of a struggle. They're not generating enough offense, and they're giving up more quality than they normally would when they're fully healthy. And that's the thing. People think Mark Stone, well, we're going to miss his offense. No, you're going to miss his defense, too. He's one of the best defensive forwards in the NHL. There's a reason he's always in the Selke Award conversation every single year. He's always one of the league leaders in terms of forwards, in terms of takeaways, you know, forcing turnovers, you know, making other players cough up the puck. They miss his play away from the puck just as much as they miss his offense. And you're seeing that right now with this Golden Knights team. San Jose, Nashville. We've got Nashville -135, home favorites, 6 the total, shaded to the under. A couple 5.5s, but mostly 6 here in this game. San Jose finally lost one. And I know Andrew on Sunday's show, like Boston in regulation against San Jose, they got the had to hang on at the end. That San Jose team just wouldn't go away. But Boston ended up hanging on for the victory Sunday afternoon. First loss of the season. So this is a questionable spot. I've been on the fade Nashville train that's been paying off handsomely lately doing that. But for San Jose, this is a spot where I question maybe going to that well one more time here and backing the Sharks for a couple of reasons. They finally lost a game. Is that bubble burst a little bit? And this is also the end of this very long road trip for them. They're going home to face Montreal on Thursday night after this game. So is there maybe a little eye toward getting back home to the Bay Area following this game for San Jose? You worry just a little bit about that. So as much as I've been anti-Nashville, I'm certainly not interested in laying a price with this team. I'm telling you, they're not very good. Their defensive game has fallen off. They've given up, you know, goals in bunches. Now, they did get a win against Minnesota, 5-2, and I give them credit for the performance by Connor Ingram. in net in that game for the Predators. And it's a guy that's actually, I didn't know this until I saw it on Twitter, it's actually been battling mental health struggles in the past. And that I felt that that's probably was a little extra, not incentive, but they really wanted to have a good game in front of him against Minnesota. Nashville on Sunday night, and they definitely did that. So, but give them credit and kudos to Connor Ingram as well, because, you know, to be able to come back from, you know, struggles met with your mental health, it's a difficult thing. We've seen it in other sports, how it can affect people. And for him to come back from that, get his start in the NHL here Sunday, his first start, and win and play well, tells you battling through adversity, fighting through it, and coming out the other side and being victorious. Very impressive stuff there for Connor Ingram the other night. So this is a game where I could only look to San Jose, but there's things that keep me off the San Jose side and keep me off for the first time fading Nashville again, because again, you're talking about a team that's been on the road a lot, maybe excited to get back home after this game. And again, there is some indicators too. If you look at advanced stats, San Jose has been outperforming their metrics so far this season, and you got to believe maybe there's a correction on the way. Maybe that Boston loss was the start of that correction. Alex, what do you think here? San Jose, Nashville.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to stay away from, because this is the end of a road trip for San Jose, even though they've played very well. But like I said, you know, teams tend to kind of, you know, get out of their headspace a little bit and then, you know, kind of thinking about, you know, getting on the plane and getting back home. In these kind of getaway, I guess not really getaway day, but a getaway spot in the end of a road trip, and especially San Jose. We've historically seen them struggle, of course, the first game back after a long road trip, but even sometimes getting caught in some of those last games in their long, you know, trek out, whether they're going out east or along the south. So this is also a spot where Nashville, they are 14-1-1. The last 16 meetings against Nashville at Bridgestone Arena. This is dating back to even the playoff series they had back about 4 or 5 years ago. So this has definitely been a house of horrors for the Sharks. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Nashville come out and play well, but I'm not laying $1.30. I don't even trust the team in regulation right now. They've definitely laid some eggs and said they don't have the offensive horses. And if the Sharks do come out to play early, they might be able to put this one away, and then they just kind of, you know, skate quietly for the last 30, 40 minutes. So maybe look for a live under if you do see the Sharks take a lead and Nashville not have much fight in that first period.
Yeah, you're right about it. I mean, it's been a tough place to win for San Jose playing in Nashville. We talk about Nashville's home ice hasn't been as strong, but San Jose's definitely had a lack of success there. Interesting totals note, by the way, 7 of the last 9 meetings in Nashville have gone over between the Sharks and the Predators as well. Andrew, what do you think here? San Jose, Nashville.
That's where I am. I'm on the over. I like this game, like the price, like the number. I think that road trips have been interesting to start the season off, and we try and peg some certain spots. And, you know, I look at this team, and they, you know, they Montreal, Boston, Toronto, they've definitely traveled around. Nashville coming into a spot against the Minnesota Wild, and I'll tell you that much, I literally thought it was a really bad spot for Nashville. They played Winnipeg, fly overnight to play Minnesota. You and I discussed it, Ian. They score 3 goals straight to start off that game. Talk about confidence, right? And if we want to talk about recent form and real recency bias, you know, I think that, first of all, the Wild are involved in track meets every game they play in, and I don't think that's going to change tonight. And this San Jose Sharks team, one thing I was saying earlier today about them is that I like how they're not just a typical expected goals type of team. They score goals that people are going to say, ah, that was lucky. Ah, yeah, it was just a deflection. You know what? Sometimes it takes skill to be lucky. It takes skill to be in the right time, right place. And I don't like hearing people say, you know, ah, that wasn't really a nice goal. You know what? You know which team in the league makes really nice goals? Tampa Bay. And guess what happened to them last night? Guess what happened to the Maple Leafs, that every goal they score is a tic-tac-toe goal? You know, San Jose has actually had some great goals, but also some chippy goals as well. And the Preds, they're such a hot and cold team. You want to bet on them or take overs with them when they're hot, and you want to fade the shit out of them when they're playing poorly. So I'm going to hope that after they had a couple goals in that last one, they'll keep it up here and get me over 5.5.
Yeah, definitely. And there are some 5.5 still out there. I mean, there are a couple, so make sure you shop around. And I want to mention DraftKings, our great partners, because that's where you can find a 5.5 right now on this San Jose Nashville game. So if you do like that over, definitely look toward that look toward betting it at DraftKings, basically, because you can find 5.5 there right now with the San Jose Nashville total in this one. And Aiden Hill got pulled actually in that Boston game. I think we're going to see him back in the net tonight. No, it's Reimer. Sorry, James Reimer for Jose for the Sharks in net. And you'd expect Saros for Nashville tonight for them, although that's not confirmed on his side. By the way, Eli Tolvanen, who's actually been one of their more impressive younger players the last really season and a bit, the way he's played for Nashville, he's questionable due to injury tonight, upper body injury. So may not see him tonight. He's been one of those younger Nashville players that's given you some offensive punch for this team the last season and a bit. All right. Next up, Minnesota and Vancouver. We've got Minnesota -115 to -120 road favorites, 5.5 being the total in this one. And for the Vancouver Canucks, they had to wait a while. And finally, here on October 26th, you know, 2 weeks into the season, finally playing their home opener tonight at Rogers Arena in Vancouver. So long overdue for the Canucks to return home. They finally will. They've been on the road for quite some time. You look at their trip: Edmonton, Philly, Detroit, Buffalo, Chicago, out west to Seattle. And now they finally return home, and we'll see if they can play well here in their home opener. But difficult spot. You got Minnesota off a 5-2 loss to Nashville, now about to start a road trip for them. After this, they're going to end up going to Colorado for back-to-back games in Denver against the Avalanche. So those are going to be big ones coming up for this Minnesota Wild team. But before that, they'll look to bounce back from a 5-2 loss to Nashville. They've gone over the total in three straight games. I think that continues here. You look at Vancouver as well. First home game off a road trip. You could see, you know, basically sometimes you're stuck in mud, especially early in the game, and your brain and basically your reflexes with the stick, they're not functioning. They're not in sync. And when that happens, it sometimes can lead to turnovers, miscues with the puck, defensive blunders. And I think we could see something like that here tonight in this game. I think, you know, Vancouver's pumped up for their home opener. That's the only reason I'm staying off Minnesota, because I do think it kind of favors them. It is a tricky spot for Canucks in terms of returning home off a very long road trip. From a side perspective, I could only look Minnesota, but I'm going to stay off at the -120 price. But I will like, and we'll go ahead with the over here in this one, 5.5 -120. Alex, what do you think? Wild Canucks.
No, I'm on the Wild here tonight, and I lean with the first period over as well, because we've seen them get off to some fast starts. But I like the money line more in this spot. After the Wild, like I said, the way that they kind of just laid an egg early in that first period against Nashville, and this is a tricky spot for them because it was the second of back-to-back games, and even though they were both right at home, but they were both 5 o'clock start times, which is kind of an odd start time for the Wild. And I talk about that, how some teams, if they're not used to playing that at certain times or have these kind of weird starts, it just throws things off a little bit, and to do that on a back-to-back spot as well. It clearly, you know, they just didn't wake up for the first 20 minutes of that game, and then were never able to quite recover. So now hitting the road, I expect them to bounce back. And you know, you look at Vancouver, like I said, being on the road as long as they were, just look at how Seattle, their opener went. I mean, Seattle, no team is more jazzed up for a home opener, obviously, than Seattle. First game in franchise history at home. And then they end up losing to Vancouver in that game. So I think we'll see Vancouver probably, you know, falter a bit, being the first game back after a very long road trip. So I'm looking at a cheap price here with Minnesota.
No doubt. And 9-2 to the over the last 11 in Vancouver between the Wild and Canucks as well. So they've trended toward higher scoring games when they've played here in Van City as well. Andrew, what do you like here, Minnesota, Vancouver?
Yeah, this was a situational play that stuck out to me right away. And I know we're just early in the season, but you know, this is just one of those things. This was an excruciating road trip here for this Vancouver team to start the year off, and it's hard for them to go back home and for us to expect a shutdown game. I think that we're going to see some, you know, bright spots of defense for them, but we also have to remember, when you've got guys like Quinn Hughes on the back line there, I expect him to be someone that kind of, you know, jumps up into the rush, creates some offense. And I always say, when you're a team that has, you know, blue liners that do that, it also, you know, causes odd man rushes the other way and stuff like that. And you got a pissed off Wild team that I think just looked flat in their last game, very flat. But I don't think the Wild are going to be involved in that many 2-1, 3-1 games. You know, when they're victorious, it's going to be because they scored 4 goals in a game, you know. And I think Vancouver, they will get a few. And, you know, they have a good top six now. They've got, you know, Connor Garland's proved himself. Yeah, he's, you know, finding a way each night to make an impact. And I think they have a great veteran leadership core as well with Vancouver, and they will get them fired up. But, you know, great point by Alex. You know, I think that there's so much hype built around these home openers. But, you know, once the puck drops and 1 or 2 minutes into the game, it's just a hockey game. You know, people say the fans are a huge factor, and I get that. I mean, as a Habs fan, I'm pumped to see the Bell Center jam packed, but I'm not going to make that a reason why I think Vancouver will just play lockdown defense by any means. So, you know, I think it's a great spot here for the Wild, and that's where I would lean. But just in case Vancouver does come out and have a huge home performance, I'm on the over 5.5 here.
All right,
Andrew. And a great point. I got to say real quick, great point by Terry Edelman. I saw on Twitter, because like you alluded to, Ian, trends point towards the over. But a good point that he made was that it's not just that this 5.5 is what I got, and you can shop around and make sure you're not getting the 6. This total of 4 of the last 5 times has gone over if it was 6.5. So not only has it gone over the 5.5 mark, 4 of the last 5 times, if the total was 6.5, it's gone over that number. So it makes you feel pretty good that it's not just squeaking over 5.5.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good point there with the total, like in Minnesota, Vancouver, over 5.5 here, Andrew, in this one. And I'm going to go for the slump buster. I do have one prop on this game. I'm going to go for Kaprizov to get off the schneid here. It's been a tough start to the year for him. The Canucks were giving up a lot of quality rubber to Seattle on Saturday, even though they won that game. Demko had to face a lot of high danger chances, a lot of really good scoring chances. And if they give those kind of chances up here, fatigue, jet lag, first home game off a long road trip to a guy like Kirill Kaprizov, he ain't going to be leaving Vancouver with a goose egg next to his name in terms of goals this season, in my opinion. So I'm going to pick this opponent, this spot here, to be the one for Kirill Kaprizov. And look, Dean Evason, not getting on him, but kind of pointing out what he's got to do to get off the schneid here, saying we just need him to, you know, stop trying to dangle through the entire five group of players on the ice. Try to simplify your game a little bit. You know, look for, you know, get in front of the net, look for loose pucks, you know, shoot a little bit more, all of that kind of thing. And so when you get that kind of, it's not really a scolding by the coach, but just, hey, change some things up. You're going to be fine. We believe in you. He's plus 160 to score tonight. Kaprizov will go with that. And Connor Garland, by the way, wouldn't talk anyone out of his goal score prop either. And you can still take plus 240 with him to score a goal tonight for Vancouver. This guy has been a great find so far in the offseason, the way he's played. So there's a couple, one on each side here for goal scorer props tonight. Kaprizov at plus 160 and Garland for Vancouver at plus 240.
And there's going to be a point in the season where you're not getting that price with Kaprizov. So no. Get it now.
Yeah, I mean, if he's rolling and he's playing well, he's going to be up toward plus 125, plus 120, you know, to score a goal on some nights when he's really in a groove and really on a streak, a point scoring streak and a goal scoring streak. You're not going to get offered plus 160 on Kaprizov when he gets in that kind of run, which he probably will at some point. So there you go. A couple goal score props for me in this game tonight. All right, DraftKings, before we get into our next game, we'll mention DraftKings, official sports betting partner of the NFL and the NHL. They have you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team this weekend to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. It's that simple. And if the DraftKings isn't available in your state or you're in Canada, don't worry. They won't leave you empty-handed because everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL and NHL. Must be 21 years of age or older in a sportsbook state. DraftKings Sportsbook state, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, sign up for account, and start winning with DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, two games left on this Tuesday NHL card. Montreal Canadiens, Seattle Kraken. We've got Seattle minus 130 home favorites, 5.5 being the total here in this game. The Seattle Kraken kind of snake bit right now. I mean, you look at how they played against Vancouver, and they had the better of the play. They were in the offensive zone quite a bit, and it was just a masterpiece of a goaltending performance by Thatcher Demko. He was terrific in net, and Seattle, you know, had a bunch of chances, couldn't capitalize. And look, they had a 1-0 and a 2-1 lead in the third period of that game, and Vancouver roars back, a couple of defensive breakdowns. And to be honest with you, more than anything, weak goaltending from Philip Grubauer, who's had a tough start to the season for Seattle, trying to show what he can do once again after just an absolutely brilliant season last year for the Colorado Avalanche. He's not been able to carry that over so far this year. I mean, a 3.79 goals against average, 869 save percentage for him. So he's really been fighting it, you know, in between the pipes so far this year for the Seattle Kraken with his new team. And when you look at that all-important goals saved above average metric that I like to peek a glance at, there's only two goalies that have started at least a game this year that have a worse goals saved above average than Philip Grubauer. So he is definitely not playing up to the standard that we saw from him last year with the Colorado Avalanche in this game. I do think Seattle plays well, hard tonight, plays well. Will it be enough to win? We'll see. But I also think Montreal, you know, starting a road trip, you know, a team that finally, look, it was against Detroit, but they finally saw the red light on. They finally saw some goals go in the net, the Montreal Canadiens, in that victory on Saturday. So you got to believe that's going to be a situation that gives them a little bit of a boost mentally that, hey, we finally scored. You know, we had two goals in three games and losses to the Rangers, the Sharks, and the Hurricanes. And we finally saw the puck go in the net for us in that 6-1 win. It was a welcome sight to see, you know, the likes of Christian Dvorak get on the scoreboard for the Montreal Canadiens in that game, among others. Matthew Perreault ended up having a huge game out of the blue for the Canadiens. Mike Hoffman, who is a new addition to the team this year, scored a power play goal. So it was just nice to see the puck go in the net here for Montreal. And when you look at Seattle so far this season, to the opposition, Seattle gave up 4 to Vegas, 3 to Nashville. They gave up 2 to Columbus, which is the best defensive game they've had this year so far. They give up 6 to Philadelphia. They give up 4 to New Jersey, and they give up 4 goals to Vancouver. So they've wanted to play good defense, and I thought they would play good defense, but just hasn't worked out that way so far for the Kraken. But the point is, you know, other than one game, they've allowed 3 goals at least to every other opponent. So I'm actually on the Montreal team total over 2.5 in this game tonight. I think that's definitely something that looks good. I mean, it's -130. We're seeing a Seattle team that's given up 3 goals to all but one team, and a Montreal team that I think after scoring 6 against Detroit has a little bit of offensive confidence going out to the Pacific Northwest with them for this game. So I'll take that Habs team total over 2.5. I would lean over 5.5, but I like the team total. I like the fact that you could just ask Montreal to score 3 goals. You cash that ticket against a Seattle team that's given up 3 goals or more in all but one game this year so far this season, with a struggling Grubauer in net. Alex, what do you think here, Montreal, Seattle?
Yeah, I'm going to take a shot here with the first period over. I've seen it drop now at one shot, but it's down to 111 or 115. So that's a good price here. We've seen Seattle cash this often. They didn't cash in the first home game with Vancouver, unfortunately, was on that and liked that play a lot. But I think, like I said, here now with, you know, both teams kind of struggling and angling, trying to get things and going in the right direction, I think we see a fast pace and a fast start to this game. So I like the first period over.
All right, first period over, 1.5, Montreal-Seattle for Alex. Andrew, your Habs, can they finally got a win? Can they make it 2 tonight?
Yeah, you know, I'd be happy to send you a jersey or one of the Montreal posters I have if you want to jump on the bandwagon with us.
I am for one night at a 2.5 team total. That's the only. That's why I'm
all right. All right. Well, hopefully they get the win too. But yeah, you know, a lot of the times I look for unders when a team starts their road trip. But you know, for all the cliche reasons and all the reasons that you know, you were just talking about and you guys were mentioning, I think it's going to be an exciting game to watch for both clubs. You know, and we talked about it last game we talked about. I mean, Seattle, all the hype in the world, the speeches, the players getting introduced, they lose the game, you know, third period didn't work out their way. All the hype can happen, but it's all about the results on the ice. I think that I'm going to go back to my Montreal over 5.5 here and think, look, I saw the puck go in the net for them for the first time. And it wasn't even just, you know, their top line or Suzuki, Caulfield, Dvorak, Anderson. Getting Perreault going is huge. It kind of exposes the depth of this team, and that's kind of what they're made up of. Look at what happened in their playoff run last year. I mean, obviously Corey Perry is in the round. There's no more Eric Staal, but you know, it wasn't always the top guys. Yoel Armia, you know what I'm saying, Ian. I think that's the identity of the Montreal Canadiens. You know, we don't have that guy that you can count on as an anytime goal scorer every night kind of thing, like you might have with a Matthews or a McDavid or a McKinnon, you know? So the thing is, you and I both liked overs with this Canadian team going into the season. The problem was you were having games like where the Sharks beat them 5-0, and somehow that total stays under, you know? And I thought that was kind of funny because teams were scoring on them, putting up numbers against them, and totals were still staying under because they couldn't find the back of the net. So I think if the Montreal Canadiens do their part, we'll see the Kraken score as well. And as far as Grubauer goes, I'll keep saying it. Right now, the team in front of him is no longer the Colorado Avalanche. It's the Seattle Kraken. And right now, Marc-Andre Fleury is not playing behind the Vegas Golden Knights. It's the Blackhawks. You know, shit changes when you change teams, you know, and it's nothing against those goaltenders. It's just that it literally changes, you know. You guys ever see a goaltender that's really talented on the club team go play for their country, you know, for somewhere like Germany or Latvia, and then they play Team Canada? All of a sudden, that goaltender gets exposed, you know, and that I'm not trying to make it on that large of a scale, but it just goes to show, you know, you go from a team like Colorado to an expansion team, and maybe you look a little, you know, more rebound friendly and that kind of stuff. So 5.5 for me towards the over, and I'm going to still be looking to take Anderson to score a goal. The metrics for him have still been so good, and I feel like he's due to get one in the net.
Yeah, definitely. Certainly there's a bunch of those guys that fall into the category of they're bound to score a goal at some point for the Montreal Canadiens because there's a bunch of goose eggs that they're trying to extricate themselves from. And you mentioned it. There's a couple of guys that certainly have had the chances, haven't had the puck go in for them yet. Final game. Winnipeg-Anaheim. We've got Winnipeg -135 road favorites, 5.5 the total in this game. This is a tricky one. I mean, this because the teams have played each other twice already. Anaheim won in the pond in Anaheim, first game of the season against the Jets. The Jets returned the favor, a shorthanded Jets team last week in Winnipeg with no Scheifele and no Wheeler, and they ended up beating down the Anaheim Ducks 5-1 in that game. I actually thought it was a pretty good spot for Winnipeg, returning home opener after a tough start. And they got the job done. And then they followed it up with a 6-4 win against Nashville. Anaheim kind of slumping now all of a sudden. Their last three games, they lose to Edmonton, Winnipeg, and Minnesota. And from a spot perspective, this is the fifth game in 9 nights for the Anaheim Ducks, all with travel, and you're coming back home off the road. This is pretty brutal for Anaheim. I know it's early in the season, and sometimes those first home games, I mentioned it with Vancouver just now, they're not as tough to try to, you know, bounce back or try to play good in those kind of spots early in the season. But still, this is a difficult one for the Jets and the Ducks here in this one. I still have to lean to Winnipeg and the over in this game. I still think they can find a way to win. I think their spot is not as dubious. And look, they've without Scheifele and without Wheeler, you know, we've seen this team step up and find ways. Kyle Connor's been all world. I wouldn't talk anyone out of looking at him goal scoring prop wise tonight, or Pierre-Luc Dubois. Let's give him credit. He is finally stepping up and making an impact for the Jets, something he was not able to do most of last year. Svechnikov has shown them a lot of life. There's a reason they put him on the top line. He's given them a lot of energy, you know, so far playing on that top unit. You know, Ehlers, Kopp, and Stastny have been an effective second line for this group. So, you know, give the Jets credit. With no Scheifele, with no Wheeler, they've still won back-to-back games without those guys. And I think for Anaheim, you know, this is really tricky for them. 5 games and 9 nights. And coming back off a lengthy road trip, I think the Jets have enough to handle it here. Small bets for me on Winnipeg, and as well as the over here, believe it or not, because look, Anaheim has really been looser defensively, and they've really had trouble at the defensive end of the ice in some of their recent games, and now it's catching up to them. We saw them give up 43 shots to Minnesota, and 34 to Winnipeg, and early in the year they weren't paying the piper for it, and 43 shots allowed to Calgary, and they weren't giving up many goals. Well, now we've seen sort of the floodgates open against them. Edmonton put up a 6 spot, Winnipeg put up a 5 spot, Minnesota put up 4 in a comeback win against Anaheim. So I'm right now leaning toward the Jets and the over. Maybe go regulation if you like a little more value on Winnipeg instead of the minus 135 as well. Alex, any thoughts here? Jets and Ducks.
Yeah, this is the game I love the most tonight. I like this first period over with Jets and Ducks. These are two teams. He says it's the third and final meeting. Which he says it's rare to see that, you know, teams have three meetings and they get them over with, you know, in the first month. But that's the case here with these two teams. And in each of the last two meetings, we saw the first period over cash. You got Anaheim, who's 5-1, and you got Winnipeg 4-1. And then to the first period over. So these two teams that they've, you know, been getting off to hot starts against one another and against other teams so far, I expect that to continue. And it's interesting. We talked about Vasilevsky with Tampa Bay about how goaltender fatigue could be, you know, his issue with all the minutes he's logged in. Well, when you look as far as they haven't made it that far in the regular into the postseason, obviously, but Hellebuck and Gibson are two goalies that have played a lot of minutes, a lot of big minutes for their clubs, and they're starting to wear down a bit. They are not looking sharp to start the season, which could be troublesome for them moving forward, because, you know, you expect them, okay, if they break down, you know, by Christmas break or something, you know, because of all those minutes. But for them to be struggling right out of the gate is not a good sign for either of these teams moving forward. They're going to need these guys to bounce back, you know, sooner than later. So I like the first period over. We get a more than acceptable price here. I thought for sure this was going to be priced much higher because of the recent history of these two teams alone, but also in their last several games.
All right, liking that first period over 1.5 Winnipeg Anaheim for Alex. Andrew, what do you like here? Winnipeg Anaheim.
I'm off. I can't find a bet that I like here. And when these two teams have played three times, start
and it's Anaheim involved. Reason enough for you to stay away.
Yeah, and it's Anaheim involved. Yeah, they can just, you know, they can just go away. But no, I have enough action for tonight. I'm good for this game.
There you go. All right, that's the Tuesday NHL card. We thank everyone for tuning in. I promise, cross my heart and hope to die, as they used to say when I was a kid. I promise we will start at 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. We will. We'll get back finally to our normal time tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on the Ice Guys with our Wednesday edition of the show. We will break down the Wednesday card. Of course, fewer games tomorrow, just five games, one of them being the TNT game, Philly and Edmonton. So looking forward to the Wednesday card. We'll break it down tomorrow right here on the Ice Guys. And a reminder, the Ice Guys 7 days a week right here on YouTube, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Monday to Friday, noon Eastern, Saturday, Sunday. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast on all audio platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeart. You can find the podcast on all those platforms. All right, let's get to best bets to wrap up the show. Alex, we'll start with you. What do you like for best bet?
Yeah, just talked about it. Ducks, Jets, first period over. You can get it minus $1.20. I think I'm seeing, let's see, I might be seeing $1.15 in some places too. Yeah, that's it. As low as $1.10, $1.15. So shop around and get that price. All those are great prices to get with Anaheim and Winnipeg to go over in the first period.
All right, Winnipeg, Anaheim, over 1.5 first period. Best bet for Alex B. Smith. Andrew, yeah, you're next up. What do you like for best bet?
I'll go best bet Flames Devils under 6. That's going to be it's a play I like. It's one of my favorite plays in the card today, and I just think that these are two teams I can count on defensively. And despite that back to back for Calgary, I just don't think they're going to light the lamp every single night the way that they've been doing recently. Hoping for a defensive battle tonight.
All right, there we go. Calgary, New Jersey, under 6 for Andrew with his best bet. Mine's going to be, and it's definitely probably my favorite bet of the night for a night that I don't love the card. This is definitely my favorite opinion of the night. Minnesota, Vancouver, over 5.5, minus 125. We'll roll with that. I think we get enough goals with these two teams tonight. I don't expect a very clean, you know, sturdy defensive effort with Vancouver coming back home. That first game after a lot of travel usually is a sloppy one defensively for teams in that spot. I could see that. Minnesota, an offensive bounce back, I think, after losing 5-2 to Nashville. But Vancouver can score, and we've seen that on display early in the year. So enough reasons to like it. Minnesota, Vancouver, over 5.5 for my best bet for this Tuesday card. And that'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. For Andrew McGinnis and Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Tuesday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Wednesday for another edition of the Ice Guys presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.